I've chosen this reading. We always associate it with Christmas. But I've chosen this reading because there's an angel mentioned in it. And this is the theme of my message tonight, angels. Not the ones on Christmas trees or Christmas cards, but real angels, supernatural beings. So I'll read this first. Luke 1:8-20. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." So there's things mentioned in this reading which I think is true of all angelic appearances. Well, first of all, what are angels? Well, I looked it up on Google, the font of all wisdom. Well, that's exactly the Bible. And the definition was, angels are spiritual beings who act as an attendant, agent, or messenger of God. We read in Psalms, don't we, that we're lower than the angels, but Jesus is higher than them. They're usually represented in human form. They look like us, or we look like them, with wings. You know, when Isaiah had his vision in the temple, he saw angels with six wings, three pairs of wings. And they're clothed in a long robe, sometimes. The English word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, meaning messenger, angel in Welsh. And they're beings of light. Well, what can we learn from this passage anyway? Well, first of all, they can appear and disappear at will. And when Zechariah went into the Holy of Holies, there was nobody there. And then an angel just appeared. So they're visible. Zechariah was frightened. So they can be scary, but they're reassuring as well. Most important thing, they carry messages from God. They always have a purpose for the visit. They're able to speak, and that sounds obvious, obviously. If they carry messages, they must be able to speak. Some angels have names that we know about. In the Bible, there's only two names given. Gabriel, the one that we've heard here, and Michael. But I don't know if you've read the accounts. I had to read this up once about Samson. Now, Samson's mother was a long time without a baby. And she longed for a baby, and she had a visit from an angel. And she asked the angel, "What is your name?" And he did have a name, but he wouldn't give it to her. He said, "It's too marvelous for you to know." But he gave her a message that's very similar to the message that the angel Gabriel gave to Zechariah, that she would have a baby, the longed for baby, and she wasn't to drink fermented wine at all, which is good advice in the pregnancy. They stand in the presence of God, another very, very important point. This is what Gabriel said, "I stand in the presence of God." So everything that God says to them, is holy. They are powerful. They do have power. When Zechariah didn't believe what the angel told him, he argued with him, really, he was struck down. Didn't last, it was temporary. Now, angels are mentioned in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There are angels in the Garden of Eden, and there are angels mentioned right at the end of the New Testament. So, what I've condensed for a short time, what I want to speak about this evening, is some of the examples from Scripture and how they've influenced people. Why do they appear, and what effect did it have on the person they appear to you? God can come to you in various forms. When Jesus appeared to the disciples and stilled the storm, they thought he was a ghost. So your intellect, your mind, can undermine our faith. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Anybody here ever seen an angel? No, I haven't either. But I hope to see them one day. They are always dressed in white or with dramatically arched wings. Sometimes it's so ordinary that they're overlooked. In Hebrews it says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." So we don't always recognize them, but they're there. Right, could we have the next reading, please? It's from Acts 12. Thank you. This is about Peter. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought it was a vision. He's seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. So this is our things in common with the first reading. An angel appeared and disappeared suddenly. He could speak. He had power. He struck Peter, the chains fell off. Doors opened, not on their own, but through the power, heavenly power. Now, I don't know if you've ever read any books by Pastor Yun. I know Gwenda has, because she lent it to me to read. Pastor Yun was a Chinese pastor, and he was very severely persecuted by the Chinese authorities. And he was in prison. And suddenly, he was told by a heavenly voice, I don't know if he saw an angel, but he was told, "Right, it's time for you to leave the prison." And he got up. The doors opened for him, he walked past all the guards and through the front gate, and he was out. So I'm sure he had heavenly help. So we can tell from this that the Lord can overcome earthly things in supernatural ways. Perhaps you think that God doesn't send angels anymore because he's given us his Holy Spirit to help protect and guide us. Not so. God sent an angel to deliver Peter from prison on the eve of his execution. He was due to be put to death the next day, but the Lord delivered him from this. Paul was another man who saw angels and heard them. On his way to Rome, remember, Paul appealed to the emperor. So he had to go to Rome to put his case before the emperor. And he was on board a ship to Rome. This ship was destined to be destroyed by a ferocious storm, but God sent an angel to reassure him. He would survive it. So Paul announced to the crew and passengers, "Take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before the emperor. And of course it came true. Everything came true. The ship was wrecked, but they were all cast ashore on Malta, and they all survived. To tell the tale. We may not be able to see angels, but we can be certain that they can see us. This is something we don't often think about. But they do see us, as the Lord sees us. Indeed, they never take their eyes off us. We tend to think of angels in human terms. But they don't need sleep. They don't need food. They're heavenly beings. Indeed, they never take their eyes off us. Jesus, in Matthew 18, tells us not to despise weak or immature Christians. He says, see that you don't despise any of the little ones. Their angels in heaven, I tell you, are always in the presence of my Father in heaven. The angels here are representatives of guardians of these Christians, so we have guardian angels. In what type of situation might God send an angel to help us? There's all sorts of examples in the Old and the New Testaments. Perhaps when someone we love and trust has disappointed us. Imagine how Hagar felt in the Old Testament when Sarah gave a slave girl to Abraham as a concubine. Now slaves had no rights. They could be given as gifts or they could be sold. So Hagar had no rights at all and she was given to Abraham to bear a child. Sarah and Abraham were trying to fulfill God's promise of an heir for Abraham. They were trying to shortcut God's plans. But when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, Abraham sent Hagar and her son Ishmael away without support. He just gave her some water and some food and sent her out into the desert, into the wilderness. Hagar was desperate. She'd used up all the water and was alone in the wilderness. But God heard Hagar crying, and from heaven, the angel of God spoke to Hagar and reassured her. God opened her eyes and she saw a well which supplied her with water. Hagar and Ishmael were safe and Ishmael went on to become a child of destiny and from him would come a great people. We believe that the Jews came from Isaac and the Arab nations came from Ishmael. God might send an angel when we're facing embarrassment and not able to defend ourselves. When Mary was engaged to Joseph, she probably planned to get married first, then a family. But God had a different plan for her. Not only was she facing public humiliation, but according to the law, she should be put to death. But God sent an angel to vindicate her, this was Gabriel again, and tell her that she was in the centre of his will. Imagine how she felt when Gabriel told her what would happen to her as she would become pregnant with the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Saviour. What a wonderful message for Gabriel to give. Right, and if you could have the next reading, please. Matthew 28.
Thank you.
After the Sabbath, this is after the crucifixion. At dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb where Jesus had been buried. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So again, the angel just appeared. And we're told in this reading that they wore white clothes, they were shining, and they were like lightning. And they had power. They rolled the stone away. They could speak and give messages from heaven for these women. For in a desperate situation, distraught. What happens when we are grieving the death of someone we love and fear for our future? This is what these women felt too. Mary Magdalene loved the Lord Jesus. When he died and was buried, she must have been distraught and heartbroken. When she and the other Mary visited the tomb of Jesus, there was an earthquake and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away and sat on it, and spoke to the women. Again, he had a message for these women. You must not be afraid. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. He gave them comfort. Basic facts. The Bible says some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. If we allow it to, a cynical world will make us doubt that God actually loves us so much that he will send an angel to help us. It is true. Now, people often think, oh, there aren't any angels because we haven't seen them. That was just read. They're not always visible, but they can see us. Another situation when God might send an angel to help us is when we need to get out of trouble. Lot was living in Sodom, a city about to be destroyed because of its sin. That's when God sent angels to rescue him and his family from impending doom. We have to do what they say, though. Lot listened, obeyed, and survived, but sadly his wife didn't. They were told not to look back at the terrible things that happened to Sodom, but she looked back and died and was turned to a pillar of salt. Sometimes an angel is sent to change our direction in life. A good example of this is Moses. And Moses had a remarkable life. He was saved from certain death by his sister, who put him in a basket, waterproof basket, on the River Nile. He was brought up in Pharaoh's palace, and things were going fine. Then he killed somebody and he had to flee. And he was living a very, very simple life as a shepherd. And he thought, this is it now, this is it for my life as a shepherd. But God had other ideas. He sent an angel to set fire to the burning bush. So Moses had to turn aside to look at the burning bush. And the burning bush, the angel spoke to him and God spoke to him. He said, take your sandals off, take your shoes off, this is a holy place. And he had work for him to do. Moses thought his life was over. He started out in a palace and ended up in a pasture. But every experience, good and bad, had equipped him to lead the greatest migration of people in history. He was brought up in the palace, so he knew the rules of the palace. He knew he had to go to Pharaoh and explain the situation and ask for people to be free. So all this helped him. Right, can we have the next reading, please? It's from Judges.
Thank you. This is about Gideon. An angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. When his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites, who were enemies of Israel. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? When they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Now, Gideon wasn't exactly full of self-confidence. I think you can agree with that. He was only an ordinary man, and he was scared. And at that time, Israel was under threat. Enemies without and within. And things were bad. As soon as they had a harvest, the enemy would come down and steal all the food, leaving them left for Israel. So this is why Gideon is threshing the wheat secretly and hiding it from the enemy. He was not particularly brave, but the Lord sent an angel to speak to Gideon and to reassure him and bolster his courage. This is what they do. Gideon is told to rescue Israel from its enemies, but Gideon is afraid until the Lord tells him that he is sending him and that he will help him. There's a verse in the New Testament, when God is with us, who can be against us? This was a life-changing moment for Gideon, which changed from an ordinary person at home to one of the heroes of Israel. The angel was a messenger from God, bringing an incredible message. Gideon was facing one of the biggest challenges of his life, and so was another leader of Israel a few years earlier. This was Joshua, the first judge of Israel. In order to enter the promised land, Israel first had to conquer its biggest city, Jericho. Jericho is the oldest city in the world. There are a lot of excavations in Jericho, and its foundations go down many thousands of years. At the time of Joshua, it had formidable defences, huge walls. Joshua did not have a clue how to conquer the city. But approaching Jericho, he suddenly saw a man standing in front of him holding a sword. Joshua asked if he is an enemy or one of his soldiers. Neither, the man said. I am here as the commander of the Lord's army. Joshua worships the Lord and is given instructions by the Lord how to conquer the city. This is one of the most famous victories in the Bible. God sent down an angel with a message that will literally bring down the walls. Right, if you could have the next reading, please.
Thank you.
This is from 1 Kings 19 about Elijah. Now, Ahab told Jezebel, as King Ahab told his queen Jezebel, everything Elijah had done, the prophet Elijah, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Well, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food. He travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. So I find Elijah remarkable, one of the most remarkable characters in the Bible. A great prophet, but also very, very human. He just had a tremendous victory over the prophets of Baal, and he was exhausted mentally and physically. When Jezebel sent him this message, he was absolutely terrified. What happens when we're given a situation, the best we've got, like Elijah did, and want to give up? Sometimes the Lord intervenes. This is what happened to Elijah. Elijah, with the Lord's intervention, had a spectacular victory over the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Jezebel was outraged and wanted to kill Elijah, He was burnt out mentally and physically and went into a depression. He'd had enough and wanted to die. But the Lord intervened and sent an angel to minister to Elijah, and twice he was given food and water to sustain him on the way to Mount Sinai. He was given supernatural food and water. And this sustained him to continue his ministry. Today, God still sends angels in disguise to help us. God might send an angel to help us when doing the right thing gets us into trouble. Daniel is one of the greatest examples of somebody living a godly life and doing the right thing despite the circumstances around him. The king of Persia at that time was Darius, and he succumbed to his flattering courtiers and issued a decree that no one could request anything from any god or human except Darius. Daniel could not, of course, obey this decree and continued to worship God 3 times a day, facing the direction of Jerusalem. The penalty for doing this was to be thrown into the lion's den for disobeying the king. And of course this happened. The king reluctantly ordered Daniel to be punished, and he was held overnight in a den containing Asiatic lions. But he was released unharmed. The following morning, a miracle had happened. And he said to the king, God sent an angel to shut the mouths of the lions so they would not hurt me. Doing God's will put Daniel into the lion's den, but God brought him out of it and publicly vindicated him. And the king, who wasn't a believer, had to declare, every part of my kingdom must reverence the God of Daniel, for his dominion will never end. Sometimes the battle against temptation is so overwhelming, and we're tired of it all. We all need supernatural help sometimes to overcome temptation. After his baptism, Jesus entered the wilderness. Whilst he was there, he was tempted by the devil 3 times, but he repudiated these temptations by using God's word. Jesus also had supernatural help. After Jesus had battled temptation for 40 days, the devil left him, and angels came and helped him. We all need help sometimes when the load we have been called to carry feels too heavy. Facing the indescribable agony of being crucified on the cross, Jesus prays the defining prayer of his life. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. And an angel of the Lord from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. God will strengthen us through his word and through prayer. Sometimes he will send people we know to help us. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, we are harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within, but God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. Other times God will send an angel. When we call on God for help, we can be sure that help is on the way. Every word of the Bible is true. In Psalm 34, we read, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. There's an example of this from the Old Testament and from modern times. Some people don't think that the Bible is relevant, but it is. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we read that Israel was at war with Syria and under threat. Elijah, who was Elijah's successor as prophet, his servant reports back to him about the situation and says we are doomed, not very optimistic at all. Elijah replies, don't be afraid. We have more on our side than they have on theirs. And he prays, and he tells the servant to look again. And the man sees the horses and chariots of fire of the Lord surrounding the enemy. That's an example from the Old Testament. What about modern times? Well, during the time of war in the Congo, a group of missionaries were trapped in a house and they were surrounded by armed rebels. So they were praying for deliverance when they realized that the rebels had gone. Later they were told that the rebels had seen shining figures surrounding the house. This frightened them and they fled. That's a modern example. Well, in conclusion, what have we sort of gained? Concluded from all this. Angels are powerful. We often must underestimate them. They can deliver us from danger. Most importantly, angels are in the presence of the Father. They can give us encouragement. They give information. They always have a message to give. Angels can be armed. When Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, the Lord put angels with weapons guarding the entrances and exits so they couldn't go back in. Angels can close the mouths of lions. They have power. A few years ago, when I first started coming to Park Street, we had a little, not a hymn, but a chorus that we always sang at the end of the evening service. If I remember it correctly, this is how it went. Lord, keep us safe this night, secure from all our fears. May angels guard us while we sleep, till morning light appears. We used to sing that. So I hope that everybody says that tonight. Amen.